Okay, I would like to postpone this after I hear what Serene has to say, because we haven't even touched the other objects and to postpone.
Okay, so there's a motion to postpone on the floor. Serene, do you want to speak to that?
No, her statement was that she wanted to postpone after I spoke.
Yes, yes, after, if possible,
well,
please.
Serene, you can say, when a motion goes on the floor, we're supposed to speak to the motion, and Nancy doesn't get to decide that. What the rules of parliamentary procedure.
Be allowed to withdraw it because her intent was clear. She said she wanted to postpone after I had an opportunity to speak.
Serene, you go ahead and speak to whatever you wish, okay?
No, I think you're being a little disrespectful. You don't see that?
No, that's the way the rules work. But something else, please do it, and then we'll consider the motion to postpone.
Her intent was really clear, so for you to go around that and tell me I can speak...
Serene, I'm giving you her intent. You can go ahead and speak.
Yeah, but don't sound like you're doing me a favor. That's your role as chair. That's your job.
I really don't want to argue Robert's rules with you. Please, Serene, just go ahead and say what you want to say.
Okay, no, you're very condescending, you know that? You really are, and you do this meeting after meeting after meeting. I would suggest that the motion be postponed for the purpose of refining its intent and, as Margie said earlier, to whom it's being directed. I'm not convinced that every document has to be presented to the board at every meeting. I think if people need clarification or verification of certain issues, that's one thing, as opposed to having to bring, 100 pieces of paper to each meeting. So I do think the motion needs some work. I understand the intent, and I certainly understand that there are times when boards, the balance on the board is different, and some people have access, not because of their title as treasurer, but because of other things. So I appreciate all of those concerns. I'm willing to continue discussing it. I agree with the decision to postpone, Nancy's recommendation to postpone.
Anyone else want to speak to the motion to postpone?
Point of information?
Yes, good.
This is Lona. I joined the call a little while ago, and I was just listening. I know I wasn't here for the entire call. There are a couple of things about which I'm not clear. I'm not really clear about the discussion that Nancy was speaking to, which Serene was next on the stack to address, nor am I clear of, the point of which I'm most unclear is whether or not the chair is, I'm not clear if the mention by a member that they want to possibly put a motion on the floor means that motion automatically takes the floor. That's number two. I have one other thing. And the other one, it seems that I have a recollection of us in the early beginning of this year or some point of my service on this committee, that there was a motion that was passed that specifically addressed the committee's requesting information, and that there was an agreement, I think, that if a committee or a member of the committee requested information for documents, that those documents would be made available. So that's my recollection. So if I'm incorrect, can somebody correct me in terms of that? And Chair, would you answer the question specifically about the mere mention of a motion? Thank you.
Well, it wasn't a mere mention. Nancy at the end said she did want to postpone it. But in a committee, you don't need a second. So if somebody says that the motion is made, and it's what's on the floor.
Point of clarification, please.
Yeah.
My understanding, I know what I heard. I clearly heard her say that after Serene had spoken on the issue which she herself was speaking of, who she knew was next on the stack, that after she had had her opportunity to speak, she would like to entertain the idea of putting a motion on the floor. I heard that exactly. So my question is, from the position that you have articulated, Chair, is the mere mention of the intent to have a motion, does that mean it automatically takes the floor? Because that was the ruling that you just made, and I don't know that that's correct.
I didn't hear it that way. I heard Nancy say that she wanted to move to postpone, and she also wanted Serene to have a chance to speak before we took a vote on the question to postpone. I really don't want. I mean, that's what I heard. So that's how I ruled.
William, on the point of information. May I address? Before we go on with a vote on the postponement, may I address something that Nancy said just before she made that, or shortly before she made the mention of postponement?
Sure.
Okay. I've heard it a couple of times said that there hasn't been an in-person audit, and so that's a problem. And I've listened to being on the audit committee as well. I've heard the auditors say they only go to local stations when there's a problem that they can't resolve through the business manager or whoever's involved in trying to get that information. If they can't get the information they need, then they might go to the local station. But it's not a slight against KPFC that they haven't been there. It actually means something good from the auditor's perspective that they don't need to go there, because they don't normally go to stations unless they have a problem with what's going on at that station. Thank you.
Okay, this motion is discussable. Anybody else want to discuss the question of whether to postpone Nancy's motion? Okay, is there any objection to postponing Nancy's motion? Okay, hearing none, it is postponed.
And becomes until the next meeting, right?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. The next item is yours, Serene. It's the question about the rate for membership. It's been a while. Would you introduce the subject again?
Okay, so I just sent two different motions. The first one, it's a motion regarding the annual membership rate, and I think I actually have to withdraw it because it's actually going to be a bylaw amendment because the $25 is included in the bylaw language. And I'm going to move to table my motion with regard to the increase, but also to ask you guys, in case for some reason or another, not around when you guys are doing this, that the language in the bylaw should be flexible enough that it allows the board to increase the rate without having to go through a whole bylaw amendment process. Or at least there should be some discussion of that. So do I need to read it in order to table it, or can we just table it?
I don't. Well, would anyone like it read? I heard a yes there, so go ahead.
Huh?
I thought I heard a yes. Does anyone want it read? Well, no one seems to want it read, so...
Yeah,
no.
Everybody has it. I sent it already, so that's
right.
Fine.
Okay.
So the second motion, the one you would have just received, is called Motion Clarifying, quote, Basic Membership. And it reads, the PNB Governance Committee recommends that the PNB approve the following motion regarding statements by station management about membership rates. Station membership is Pacifica membership and comes with the right to vote and run in local board elections. While station management is free to create categories of membership with various perks and privileges, no station shall claim that there exists a difference between, quote, station membership, the station membership rate and the, quote, Pacifica membership rate, nor shall they suggest that, quote, basic membership comes at a rate different from that set by the Pacifica bylaws. And I'm not necessarily going to name the two stations that have continuously had this problem, although I have provided the links for the committee members to see. And you can follow those links now if you'd like to see the reference. I'm not necessarily trying to, you know, put any particular manager on the spot.
Serene, just to clear things up, there were two motions that you wanted to bring up. Is that correct? And you wanted to table the first one?
I'm tabling the one with regard to the membership rate, the one that you received at 943, 843, 643.
Okay. Is there any objection to tabling that? Okay, hearing none, it's tabled. And you'd like a discussion on the one you just read, I assume?
Correct.
Okay. Anyone would like to speak to it?
Kevin.
Okay. I would like Serene to clarify the words, the terms that she's referring to, but I want to say categorically I support the motion. One of those patients is BFW, where ever since I became involved in 2008, I always thought that the membership fee was $35. And I couldn't understand why the PFW membership is $35 and Pacifica is $24. And, however, we had IGM not too long ago, Michelle Price, and yeah, I mentioned her name, who decided that she was going to make the membership fee $50. And so for several bridge drags, the programmers were talking about $50, membership fee. And so the LSB has pushed back on that, and hopefully we'll get it resolved at some point. But I think that needs to be clarified. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, my question to Serene is, I'm not clear where it says it's free to create categories of membership with various perks and privileges. I don't know exactly what that means.
Okay.
And let me say that maybe it might be better to not use the word categories of membership, but maybe take categories of I don't know what.
I missed the last part. I'm sorry. It wasn't clear to me.
Yeah, what throws me off is when you say categories of membership.
Okay.
It
makes me think that there's a gold and a silver and a platinum and a basic copper. And so if I got basic copper, for instance, under the reign of Michelle Price, I couldn't get a copy of the e-newsletter, PFW newsletter, because I got a copper membership. But if I got a silver or gold or platinum membership, then yeah, I can get that.
Okay.
So maybe we just need to say that there could be categories of soft, and I don't know what the word should be, but maybe membership is not the best word to use.
Well,
just a minute. Serene, hang on a minute. Lona.
I thought you asked me a direct question.
I'm going to give it to her. Go ahead, Lona.
Hi. My question is this, and that I don't understand the rationale for it. Benito mentioned, the membership at WPFW has been $35, and I've been at the station since 1981, and basic membership at WPFW was $35. In a way, so obviously there was a reason, financial, I would suppose, in terms of what was needed in order to run the station. I don't see that our need for funds has been diminished through the years. And so I feel that that's probably the justification, having $35, because they felt that they could not sustain the station with it just being $25. And so I don't understand what's behind it, because I feel that we, as a board, has a fiduciary responsibility. And so it would seem, without some rationale to support the fact that us maintaining the basic membership that WPFW has had for, you do the math, since 1981, to my knowledge, should suddenly impede their ability to have access to those funds, does not seem a wise fiduciary move. And I think that's all I have to say about it.
This is Lydia.
Benito, I'm going to see if anybody
yeah,
else
maybe, go ahead.
Okay. Lydia, anybody else want to speak to this?
And Lawrence to the staff, please.
Lawrence, anybody else?
This is Serena. I'd like an opportunity to respond at some point.
Sure. Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, so I support Serene's motion, and I think we have to be vigilant about trying to stick to those bylaws. If there are sufficient people in the network that would like to change the membership to 35, that's fine. However, that would require a bylaws change, and most importantly is that if we are offering membership, if the bylaws offer membership at 25, and we are excluding people who have paid 25 and not 35 at any particular station, just as an example, then we could find ourselves in a lot of legal hot water and challenges in terms of the election. That's number one. Number two, on the other end of the spectrum, I have known hired donors that give over $1,000 who have not received a membership because they don't give it necessarily during the fund drive, and they get really upset because they don't receive a ballot. And so there are kinks to be worked out. I think this is like a good start, but we need to work some things out so that maybe if we have something where it's understood that the first $25 of that $1,000 qualifies them for a membership, because some people, you know, who are in that category and they can't vote. So what can I say? It goes both ways, but I support this motion. I think it's a solid and well thought out motion. Thank you.
Benito, I'm sorry, Lawrence. Lawrence?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was on mute. I completely agree with Lydia. I think this requires a bylaws amendment. And this is a problem throughout the whole network, is the line of communication, how it gets blurry, and it doesn't reach the places that it's supposed to reach. I mean, I know a lot of poor people who find $25 very hard to come up with. So if you're going to add another 10, I just would like it to be consistent across the board. I mean, I support the amendment because it's well intentioned, but I also understand that it's also a point in our bylaws that states that it's $25, 3 hours of volunteer time, or waiver. So I just want us to also keep that in mind as well. Thank you.
Benito?
No, that's fine. Lydia and Brian said what I was going to say.
Okay.
Actually, they went further and opposed the point even better.
Sorry, what was that, Benito?
I said that Lydia and Lawrence said what I was going to say, and they went further and proved the point even better.
Okay. Serene.
Okay, thanks.
Lawrence to the stack, please. Thank you, if I may.
Okay, so before the new bylaws took effect in 2003, station membership rates across the country were different. D.C., I believe, had been 35, you know what I said, since 80-something. New York used to be 50. Houston, I think, might have been 35 for a while. And I want to say that I don't think that when the bylaws were written that anyone took the time to explain to station management all the ways in which the things they've been doing might need to change. So bits and pieces have been relayed over time, and people have been criticized for what they don't know about the bylaws. But I actually did create a long list of things that had changed back in 2004 or 2005, and I no longer have access to that letter. But one of those were about the bylaws. Were about the membership, rather, the membership fees, and how it meant that any donation of $25 made someone a voting member, and that the amount was now uniform across the country, that there is no difference between a station membership and a Pacifica membership. Pacifica doesn't give membership to the archives, the only way to be a Pacifica member is by virtue of making a contribution to your station. So this artificial, I'm not saying that there was any ill intent, but this artificial separation between station membership and, quote, Pacifica membership is meaningless, confusing, and I'm sure there are people who are going to say it was deliberately deceptive. I think that it was a result of ignorance, not ill will or an attempt to deceive. But it has to be fixed. We're 13 years in. It's got to be clear what we're dealing with. And that's why the motion speaks to that. There was a question that Benito asked. I'm sorry, that's why I wanted to jump in right after he asked it. I don't remember what it is. But did I get to all your questions, Benito? All the questions you'd asked when you first spoke?
Okay, can I respond?
Yes, you may.
Serene, I was just suggesting that maybe instead of using the word create categories of membership,
right,
maybe you might put in a different word other than membership, or different categories of X.
Okay.
I don't know what the other should be.
Okay, no, thank you. I take your point.
Contribution or something.
No, I understand, and we can maybe come up with a word by the time it comes to the PNB. But the fact is that every not-for-profit that solicits me, there are way too many of them, I have no money to give them, always tells you, if you give this amount, you can get this benefit. If you give that amount, you can get their circles, their producer circles at radio stations, where you get to maybe have dinner with the primetime producers, or you get to speak with management, and so on and so forth. And, you got to get the money somehow, right? Boards either have to give it or bring it or find it. So there are varying levels in any development situation that you will see. And I am not going to say management should not be free to come up with, silver circles, gold circles, whatever. But the single basic right that comes with your $25 donation is the right to vote. There's also a provision in our bylaws that say that when someone makes a pledge, the membership portion of their pledge is not refundable. So if you pledge $100, you can get as fed up as you want or unhappy as you want about something. You're not supposed to get $100 back. You're supposed to get $75 back. That's another of those changes that people were told about. But our management has turned over in virtually every station but one so many times that I don't fault the new people for not knowing what some of the rules are.
Okay. Lona. Lona?
Thank you. One point, there were some things that came up in the discussion, and one point that's absolutely clear and absolutely sacrosanct that I know personally from being involved at WPFW, that $25, no matter, made everybody that paid that in WPFW
eligible to vote, and that has always been sacrosanct, even though the basic, like I said, the membership has been $35, but that right to vote has been held sacrosanct at WPFW for many, many, many years. That's all that I wanted to say about that. I don't know where it had not been the case, but I know that at WPFW, that's automatic. It's part of the NEMSA's program. It's a characteristic of it, and I know because I've worked in other departments at WPFW through the years and have been, know about the way that the NEMSA's was set up, period, firsthand. Database, that's all I'm saying. So, the characteristics, so that's all.
Anyone else want to speak to this? Okay.
Yeah, William.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. There's a Pacifica station that I listen to that where I sometimes hear some of the announcers saying the regular membership is $50. And then there are other stations that use other phrases, and I think that it probably should, maybe we could tweak this motion a little to say that any time membership is mentioned on the air or in writing, it should be included that basic membership is 25. You can give X amount for, or seeking X amount for whatever benefit it is. But that any time the funds are being solicited, it should be referenced that basic membership is currently 25. If it changes, fine. But as of right now, I think the basic membership must always be mentioned. And I think we should tweak the motion a little.
You want to amend it?
Yeah, I don't have the exact words, and I don't have it in front of me, I'm sorry to say. But I'd like to say that basic... Anytime funds are solicited, basic membership, currently $25, should be mentioned.
Lona to the stack, please.
I'm sorry, who?
Lona.
Lona, okay. Is there anyone else who hasn't spoken who would like to speak? Go ahead, Lona.
I don't know who that person was who just spoke.
Oh.
William Gerlach.
Hi. From KPFA, sorry.
And I'm just wondering if we defined it so narrowly as that may have unforeseen consequences, to say if we solicit funds, because we solicit funds often during the membership drive and simply say that this is your community, support it, your listeners, support it, Pacifica Station, and never stay membership at all in that solicitation. So to say that we must say membership, because if we talking about membership, we're talking about this is your station, support your station at whatever level works best for you, and we talk about the different, you know, thank you gifts at this level, if you support it at this level, you know, then there's this available for that, and may never, ever, ever say membership in that pitch. So to narrowly define it so that I must or we must say membership, I think, you know, is myopic and would have unforeseen consequences. But I'm an on-air producer, so I have the advantage of pitching on the air, and I know there are times that I never, ever say member. You know, I'll do a pitch without ever saying membership. I just support the station. Anyway, bye. That's it. Thank you.
Okay.
I have a question for Lona.
Well, okay. Let me just see if there's anybody else that hasn't spoken and wants to speak on this.
Virginia was on the stack, I heard.
I didn't hear that.
I did.
Virginia, are you there and do you want to speak?
Yes, I had the speaker on. I'm sorry, I did try and say it. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay, here's what, if you're really going to... As long as this is going through, I was getting ready to try and write in an amendment to it, which would say on-air pitches shall include a statement that Pacifica membership comes with the right to vote and run in the local board elections, because I do think that's important since they Pacific has been organized with the idea that that is one of its basic tenets. So I'm getting ready to write that.
Okay. Let's see. Anybody else who hasn't spoken and would like to? Virginia, when you get it ready, get back on the stack and you can move it as an amendment. Hearing no one, Benito, you were next.
Okay. Well, first of all, I would support both amendments, William and Virginia. And I would like to say that, to Lona, I think that the practice that you described amongst many, many programmers is precisely part of the problem as to why folks don't vote. You know, I mean, no one ever talks about the importance of membership in terms of governance and in terms of participation. And, you know, they only talk about give us some money or else we're back. And as important as that is, that that doesn't speak to the what membership is supposed to be about. So that's, again, that's what I think that Lona very aptly described part of the problem, and that's why I would support both motions, both amendments, as well as Serene Division.
To be clear, William didn't quite make an amendment. He was looking for words and didn't actually say he wanted an amendment. And for that matter, Virginia's isn't on there yet either. So we'll just continue the discussion. Anybody else want to speak to this?
You said anyone who had not. I thought Serene was next.
I didn't hear Serene at all.
Did. She asked a question of me. You asked her to hold it until everyone who had not spoken yet had the opportunity to do so.
Point of information.
Okay. Serene, go ahead.
Point of information.
Okay, what's the point of information?
Does the meeting end in 7 minutes or an hour in 7 minutes?
7 minutes.
Did we set an adjournment time?
Yes,
10:30. George, when does the meeting end? In 7 minutes or an hour?
In 7 minutes.
Okay.
Can be extended.
Yeah, well, okay, that's hard to do. I really think we should move the agenda because we still have these bylaws, these actual found things that the committee is mainly to do.
I can't shut down the discussion.
I move to extend 1 hour.
Move to extend 1 hour?
I object.
Well, we have two bylaws. We have a bylaws amendment coming up.
May I make a suggestion?
Sure.
I'm pretty sure that if you move to extend an hour, it's not going to happen. I would suggest moving to extend for 20 minutes. It might happen.
I move to extend for 20 minutes.
Okay. Is there any objection to extending for 20 minutes?
Well, this is Margie. I don't object, but I have to get off the call. I'm sorry. So.
Sure.
I apologize. Goodbye.
Hearing no objection. Is there any objection? Let me just ask again. Okay. Hearing no objection, the meeting's extended for 20 minutes. It will end at, I guess that would be 10 minutes to 11 Eastern time. Serene, you are next.
Okay. So I just saw Virginia's amendment, and I will be voting against it because I don't think pitching is hard work, and actually specifying that people must use particular language in each on-air pitch, I think we have to ask that people be clear and accurate, but to include particular language, that's not something I'm having had to do it. It's not something I'm willing to sign off for. But my question to Lona is that MEMSIS is just a database. You know, the information that's in MEMSIS is only as good as the question you ask of MEMSIS when you're collecting it. So I guess you're saying that you know that every time they've done a run for preparing an election for folks for ballots, for sending out ballots, that they use $25, not $35?
Yeah, so that's a category that's the flag for membership. That's the flag for the mailing. You know, that's automatic. That criteria is met.
I'm saying it's
part of the program. If you set the shield up to look for this, and if this category is met, then this happened. That's what I mean. It's part of the program.
I mean, I don't know of anyone in particular who has made, you know, I know lots of people who didn't get their ballots, but that's a totally different subject. But it's just the data is only as useful as the query, what I was saying. But anyway, on the issue of, okay, here's my problem with people insisting that it's okay to use the language Pacifica and Station X membership as though they are different things. Is what then is Pacifica membership?
That's, I take it, a rhetorical question.
No, it's not. It's not. I'm asking Lona because I think I understood you to say that when you guys talk about station membership at 35, you also talk about getting Pacifica membership at 25. So what is Pacifica membership in that context? How do you guys explain
that? So, for me personally, I've never, ever, ever. The only time that $25 would come up in the discussion, to my knowledge, or from me, and it wouldn't necessarily come from me, it would be an announcement of the cart when it's around election time, around the time that the ballots are going out, to inform and educate on public service announcements, to educate, this has been my experience on WPFW, that this will entitle you to you become a voting member of WPFW. And I think it's a good idea to add to the solicitations. However, I think being in public affairs, being in public relations, and, you know, in communication, I know that when it comes, there are every pitch that I do is not for everybody. Just like every part of the show that I program is not for everybody, because everybody's not going to understand or respond to everything. So some pitches are designed to get the people who may be blue collar workers. Others may be for the intelligentsia, because everybody can't pay $1,000 or $3,000 or $5,000. I do that ask. I also ask for whatever you can afford, because it's not important how much you give, but the fact that you give, because this is your station. Okay. So I'm just saying, so when we as a board consider narrowing the ability of the stations to ask, I don't think that that's the intention of wanting uniformity and making sure that people understand this is Pacifica and that you have the right to vote. I think what Benita said about that is brilliant. It's sacrosanct. It should be a part of the carts that are announced on the air that we do, the blast that we do. Generally, I don't know that we should mandate it, but I think it's a good idea to do and to have that this is Pacifica, and you're even – you know, because we do it all the time. Thank you for supporting your station that run. You know, just your basic $25 makes you a voting member and eligible to run on the board of directors. I think that that should be more widely distributed. I agree with that. I think I said everything really that I need to say. And I think, that maybe I hope I've been clear about why as an on-air person. And I think, excuse me if I may, just one thing that Benito said, I've never, ever, 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 I don't remember what he said. However, like I said, I do different pitches when I'm trying to target a different person or a different segment of our audience, because I know that everybody is not homogeneous in one type of person, and one thing that will resonate with one won't resonate with the other. The other thing that Benito said that I think it's important. I think I already said that it's important that we do let them know that that at $25 that they, or any contribution that they make, at least at minimally $25, enables them to run for the board of directors of WPFW. Thanks, guys. I'm rambling. I'm tired. Thank you.
Okay, I want to give Virginia an opportunity to put her amendment on the floor. So Virginia.
Okay. Well, first of all, it has a typo in it, and second of all, since John feels so so urgent about the bylaws stuff that he does, I don't know if I can move to table this discussion and the whole thing to another meeting.
Ben, yes, Ben. Do you wish to do that?
Yes.
Okay. So a motion to table actually isn't discussable. So is there any objection to tabling this to? Well, if you table it, it has to be brought back from the table, and you can do that at the next meeting. Is there any objection to that?
Serene,
good.
I'm not objecting.
You are objecting, is that correct?
I am
Serene?
Not.
You're not objecting.
Hello?
Okay, so I get that there's no objection. Is there any objection? I can hear you, Serene.
Oh, then why don't you let me finish my statement?
I was trying to find out whether you were objecting or not. Did you object or not?
As I said three times now, I'm not objecting
to
the of the motion. However, I'm asking that it be put onto next month's agenda, not just put on the table.
To do that, you have to postpone it.
Then I object to tabling, and I'd like to postpone till the next meeting.
Okay, so is there any objection to... Okay, so we have it's, we have to take a vote on tabling to begin with.
Can't I withdraw it then? If I meant postpone. This is Virginia.
Yes, we'll move to postpone. Yes, I'll allow you to do that. So we'll take Virginia's motion to be to postpone. Is there any objection to postponing? Okay. Good. Hearing none, it'll be postponed until the next meeting. Next item is the question of another set of bylaws timeline. Lydia, are you still here?
Yes, I am.
Good. Do you have a specific motion, or do you want to just begin the discussion?
No, I just want to have a discussion, and if any... members of this committee who can bring it to the PNB for next week's meeting, develop a timeline, that would be great. It doesn't really have to be passed by the committee. The PNB has to pass it, but I think it's useful to have the governance committee at least discuss it, put it on the agenda, and at least vote to have a timeline developed at the PNB in-person meeting. I think that would be my motion.
Okay, so the motion is that we will have a second round of bylaws amendments, and that the timeline should be developed at the in-person meeting. Is that correct, Lydia?
By or at, yes.
No. Is there any objection to that motion?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Say
again? None. I will report that forward to the PNB.
Oh,
and,
I'm sorry. I didn't hear Lydia's statement.
Yes, so the motion is that there will be a second timeline for another round of bylaws amendments, and that the actual timeline will be developed by or at the PNB meeting, which is meeting in person next week.
Okay. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, John, that will be forwarded to the PNB as a motion approved by governance. John, you're up.
Okay. Did you all receive the emailed text from that in three places?
Well, did anybody not receive it?
Yeah.
I guess not, so go ahead.
I'm just looking for my text here.
John, you have echo. Do you have it on speakerphone?
No, I'm not on speakerphone. Let me try something here on my
Am I fuzzy? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't hear any echoes.
Oh, okay. I just... well, my amendment is to add 30 words to the existing bylaw for the election of replacement PNB directors. I was part of the bylaws committee, and in fact, the original email list is still up, and I'm still the nominal director of Carol Spooner's Yahoo groups for the bylaws amendment, which I lost track of the identification for logging in. I can't get to it. But anyhow, the idea is one of the foundational values, think of them as constitutional principles, was the principle of proportional representation. We decided to implement it through single transferable voting. This came out of the radical side of the people who were working on the bylaws. But it was immediately recognized by the regular people, the Democrats, whatever. This is a good idea because it ensures that, the majority not bully the minority. That's what the Republicans do. We're better than that. So the idea then is that when ordinarily when you elect your listener representatives, the majority gets the bulk of them. But it doesn't get all of the directors. The LSB majority gets 2 out of 3 of the PNB directors. They rarely can get, in order to get all three, they need to have a very high proportion of, let's say, more than 2/3 of the share of the LSB delegates. And so, noting this, that there's a hole in the bylaws. I noted this back in whenever that was, 2002 or something. That the existing bylaws we elected, the so-called Plan B bylaws, have this hole. And the hole is, if you kick off a director, then you have to elect him as soon as possible. You have to replace him. And if you only have one candidate, then the simple majority, 50% plus one LSB delegate, can choose the remaining fourth director, which violates the foundational principle that power is shared. So my amendment simply states that when this circumstance arises, and it has arisen at KPFK, that those relevant LSB delegates shall reelect all three of their directors on the PNB. Then proportional representation continues forward. If you don't do that, then you're losing proportional representation, which violates the foundational principle that we share power. So the wording, I think, is clear here. I've been talking. I haven't found my motion again because I was looking at the motion that Nancy had sent. But if somebody can read it for me, I will. We can talk about it. I added 30 words to the end of the existing bylaw.
Okay, I'll read it. The first part is what's there already. Filling vacancies on a board: if a director's seat previously held by a station representative director becomes vacant for any reason, that seat shall be immediately filled for the remainder of the term by a director elected by the delegates from that radio station. Provided, however, that if the previous director was a staff director, the delegates shall elect a staff director, and if the previous director was a listener-sponsored director, then a listener-sponsored director shall be elected. And this is the part that John is adding. By an STV election to elect a new set of 3 listener-sponsored directors for this LSB in order to continue to support the bylaw's foundational value of proportional representation.
This is Lydia.
Okay. John, will you finish motivating your amendment?
Yeah, I think I've done it, and I just found the motion. I've got it in front of me now. Thank you.
Okay. Lydia?
Okay. So, first of all, you have to change a bunch of parts because everything, as you know, in the bylaws relates to another part. But, you know, that aside, in terms of the fundamental, whatever it was he was saying, constitutionality of the bylaws. I mean, both STV and within that context, IRB, were approved in the bylaws, because in fact the staff director to the PNB is always a majority vote because there's only one seat. So, you know, the whole fundamental aspect of that kind of goes out the door. The other thing is that there's another portion of the bylaws that says that the term is a year. And so you can't cut the term of the other two directors short because someone, and I think John is only taking into context the narrow application of the KPFK situation at this time, but we've had directors pass away, we've had directors resign, and so this would require a removal of the additional two directors from that station, further causing all kinds of disruption. But I don't think it can be supported by either California Corporations Code, and certainly couldn't by virtue of the rest of the bylaws. There are several things in terms of the quorum attack, which he referred to earlier, that I think can be remedied, and I do plan to offer some amendments with regard to that. But I think that this is basically, again, it would require a good deal of support. I would argue against it on its face because, again, we apply only IRB in a number of instances. As a matter of fact, anytime there's only one seat in any given committee or office in the foundation, we employ IRB rather than the STB because there aren't multiple seats. So there you go.
Can I respond?
Let me see if there's anyone else wants to speak to it first. Is there anyone else that wants to speak to this?
I have a question, Benito.
Yeah, go ahead, Benito.
I just have a question, basically, and I could wait.
What's your preference? It's a point of information is always in order.
Well, my question to John, I don't know if you could explain. I'm totally confused. I don't understand why electing a new director, how that should influence or affect the other three directors. I mean, are there, I think Lydia spoke to it to an extent, but why would you want to shorten the terms of the other three folks?
John, you're on the stack anyway. Go ahead.
Okay. I know Lydia's thing there. Lydia's comment about IRV is for those instances where there is a single seat, like a person like a treasurer or, you know, has an office. But if you look at what the existing bylaw says, it makes reference to, quote, that seat. Let me read it. It's in the first sentence, or first part of the sentence. Filling vacancies on a board is the title. If a director's seat previously held by a station representative director, there's three of those. And when one of those, and basically, and I'm just ad-libbing here, when one of those goes away, you need to replace that person. So when a representative director seat becomes vacant for any reason, that seat shall be immediately filled for the remainder of the term by a director elected by the delegates from that station, provided, however, that if it's a staff director, blah, blah, blah. And if the previous director was a listener-sponsored director, then a listener-sponsored director shall be elected by STV election to elect a new set of three listener-sponsored directors for this LSB in order to continue the support of the bylaw's foundational value of proportional representation. Now, I can see from the discussion that the wording needs to be tweaked a little bit, but the point is this. Let's suppose that this happens, so say, in the middle of the year, so that there's the existing directors have a continuing seat for 6 months. Then the idea then is that we elect directors for three directors for the period, the remaining period of 6 months. The idea then is that that continue the principle of proportional representation for the entire year. This is a foundational principle
And I guess if people weren't around, then it's hard to reinvoke all the discussion went around that. But the idea then is that we're not shortening the well, in a sense, you are shortening the terms. The principle was to have shared power for the whole year. And that means that you don't step on the minorities. You don't want to go to the tyranny of the majority. So the idea then is to elect all three of the seats. So two of them are sitting there. Two people have a term of expecting of another 6 months. One person's gone away. So you have to replace that one person. So rather than using IRV to replace a single seat, you use STV to replace all three seats for the remaining
George, term. Move to extend 10 more minutes.
I apologize.
Ron has to the stack. Ron has to get on stack, please.
We have 5 more minutes. I'll accept the motion to extend when John is finished speaking.
I'm really done. I'm happy to answer questions. I hope that addresses Benito's question.
Okay. Nancy, do you want to make your motion to extend time?
Yes. 5 more minutes?
Is there any objection to extending time? We have until, we have 5 minutes. Or is there any objection to extending time? Another 5 minutes. Would then be 5 minutes to 11 Eastern time. Hearing no objection. Go ahead, Lars.
Yes. You know, I wish my good friend from KPFK was so articulate and such an advocate when his faction was in the majority. And he remained quiet and did not advocate these points, which are really good points. But that means imposing the tyranny of the minority on the hard-earned victories of the majority. So, you know, I certainly cannot support this. And, of course, this is after there's been already 3 boycotts of the last few months of the KPFK LSB meeting because of this very same point. So it's really well-intentioned by my friend from KPFK. But the fact is that he's making these points now after not even having the decency to show up at the last three other team meetings that have been scheduled. I know, and I apologize for speaking to the member like that. But I just wanted to be on the record strongly opposing this what would come across as a sentimental motion at this point. You know, to sort of reshape the bylaws in terms of the way it fits the situation at hand, which I think it's definitely infringing on the rights of the majority as well.
Does anyone else want to speak to this?
Benito.
Yeah, Benito.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really troubled by any idea that the termination or loss, whatever, resignation of our director is going to affect the terms of the other directors, because the first thing that would come to my mind is that there are times, you know, sometimes people just resign. They get sick and tired of this nonsense. They got better things to do with their life, whatever. Or they die, or they sick, or whatever. There are other times when there's a director who is a problem, and membership needs to be terminated for the good of the organization. And if the other directors have to think that, we members have to think that, well, terminate one director, that's going to affect the terms of the others, that's going to affect their willingness to move forward on whatever needs to happen with regard to the problematic director. And so it would seem to me that that would be harmful to the fellow. I mean, this is the first time I'm seeing this, but off the top of my head, that's what comes to mind.
Does anyone else want to speak to this? Okay. It's clear there are objections, and let me point out that what we're doing now, if we take a vote on it, and John, would you like to take on a vote on it, is really just a sense of the governance committee. In order for this to be actually become a bylaw, it has to be proposed. There are other ways, but mostly it has to be proposed by 6 members of the PNB. And that's independent of what we do.
Point of information?
Straw poll. John, would you like me to take a vote on this?
Well, yeah, and just a comment about that. Yeah, of course, that we don't have a mechanism by which the bylaws, it's not in the bylaws of the bylaws that the governance committee directly submits.
Excuse me, that was a point of information?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't hear it. Go ahead. Who's speaking? Who wanted the point of information?
Lydia.
Okay, go ahead, Lydia.
Yes. Before we take a vote, can we determine if we have a majority of the original quorum that was met, since that's what it would take to pass it? And several people have lost, I think, have
yes.
This is
you need 6. You need 6 people in favor. There were 10. The original, the quorum is 10, and so you need 6 people in favor.
Thank you. This is Serene.
Yes.
Okay. I. This is an interesting motion. I don't know that I have a position on it. I have concerns all the way around. But I don't. First of all, I don't know that it really makes sense to take a sense of what the body feels in terms of where this goes. And second, I think discussion of a bylaw amendment is so important that it may not be a good idea. It is not, in my view, a good idea to have the committee vote on something that received no notice. I think that, you know, people who had to miss the meeting for one reason or another thought they were missing procedural motions or suggestions about this or motions about that, which is a very different level of involvement than actually recommending by our vote, you know, an inclination or indicating by our vote an inclination one way or the other about a bylaw amendment. The level of importance is quite different to me than an ordinary motion. So I don't think it makes sense for the committee to go around taking sense of the committee votes or straw poll votes or any of that. I don't think it served us well the last time we did it. I don't think it serves us well now. And I think it is especially a bad idea when there's been no advance notice.
Would you like to move to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay. I'll go around and let me see where the list is. Come on. There it is. Okay. So a yes without a vote, a no vote is to not adjourn.
You asked me if I wanted to for us to take the straw poll on this. I would like us to vote as a committee on this and to say basically we favor this.
There was an objection to even taking the poll. Okay, so. The way I handled it was to ask Serene if she wants to move to adjourn. If you don't want to take a poll, if you don't want to take a vote on this, then support the motion to adjourn. If we don't move to adjourn, we'll go immediately to a vote on this motion. Is there any objection to that procedure? Okay. Hearing none. So a yes vote is to adjourn. Laura? Elias? I can't hear you, Lona. Lydia Brazan?
Yes.
Virginia Browning?
Yes.
Benito Diaz?
Aye.
William Hewagen? William? I can't hear you. Joseph? Joseph K? I can't hear Joseph K either.
Did you call William? I'm sorry.
Did, yes.
Yes.
I vote yes.
Okay. Joseph K again? Tony Norman?
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Serene? Can't hear you.
Serene votes to adjourn. Can you hear me?
I can barely, but that's okay.
Yes,
Nancy
to adjourn.
Nancy Navarro-Naratomi?
Yes, to adjourn.
John Wenger?
No.
Okay. So the motion passes 8-1, which is sufficient. Thank you all. Good night.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Good night.